What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of From the Lions Cove Podcast. I'm your host, Marcelo, and today we have a very special guest, Mr. Northeast Ohio, Mr. JCU, one of the GOATs. He was someone that I always looked up to, even though we were in the same grade, the same class. I mean, he was one of the most shiftiest guards. He could always get a bucket on you, Mr. Luke Chacone. It's an honor and a privilege to have you on today's podcast.
No, man, I appreciate you having me. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
It's going to be awesome. But to kind of get off topic a little bit, I just wanted to say thank you to everyone who showed love and support over the past few weeks. For those on video, From the Lions Cove officially made it on the Carroll newspaper, the front page. I did not expect that to happen, but I'm very thankful and I'm very blessed. You know, God has definitely blessed me with this journey, and I'm definitely going to continue on this path. And so thank you for always showing love. Thank you for always tuning in. Even one click, one view, it just means the world to me. And, you know, it kind of shows that, you know, the hard work that I'm putting in, you know, you guys love it. So I'm definitely going to keep on working hard and keep on putting good content out there. But what a way to start it off having Luke on this podcast. So to give my man a proper intro. So Luke is from Mentor, Ohio. Great basketball player at Mentor High School. Looking at his stats, he averaged 23 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, almost 4 steals a game during his senior season. He led the Cardinals to a 25-1 record and reached the Division I semifinals. He was a finalist for Ohio Mr. Basketball. He was North Inlands District Player of the Year, First Team All-Ohio selection, 2021 Clark Kellogg Award winner. He played a year at Youngstown State, who was one of the higher-ups with the assist-to-turnover ratio. He had one of the highest in the country, and then eventually made his way to JCU. Now, looking at his JCU stats, 22-23 season, played 24 games, started every game, career high of 29 points, put up 28 in an NCAA tournament game, averaged 30 minutes a game. 2023-24 season, started all 29 games, put up 24 points in a tournament game, almost posted a near triple-double with 16-8-8, and scored a career high of 31. And then the 24-25 season, appeared and started in 4 games, double-double with 27-11 in the game, and went 10-15 from 18 from the free throw line, and then he surpassed the 1,000 point mark in his JCU career. Now to look at his awards and honors: 2024-25 D3 preseason First Team All-American, 2024 Penn State Harrisburg Tip-Off Classic MVP, 2024 NABC Second Team All-American, D3 Hoops Second Team All-American, First Team All-District All-Region, OAC Player of the Year in 2024. I mean, and the list goes on and on. I mean, when you talk about a high-level athlete, that's Luke. And yeah, man, I'm super excited.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Of course, brother. You know, I had to give you a proper intro, man. Come on.
Thank you.
So, starting off in February, you won Male Collegiate Athlete of the Year at the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards. What did that moment mean to you, and how did it feel to be recognized among the best in the region?
Yeah, no, I mean, it definitely meant a lot. Because you could say, you know, I think I've won a couple awards in my career. That was one of the ones that definitely stuck out to me. But it's also just a huge reflection on the people who were involved in the process. You know, the coaches I've had, the players I've played with, and to have an award given to you with the magnitude of that one, where, you know, you're not only up against just Division III basketball players, but you're up against Division I, II, and III athletes of all sports. And to hear your name called, not only just hear it called, but hear it called at Rocket Mortgage, where, you know, you grew up a diehard Cavs fan, and to be awarded it or given the award by some G League players, former NBA players, it definitely meant a lot. But like I said, I think it's just a huge reflection on the people who've been, you know, involved or helped me in the process along the way.
Wow, dude. And I mean, you know, kind of like how you said, to have it at Rocket Mortgage, you know, we've been at tons of Cavs games ever since like we were kids.
Yeah.
So just like being in that arena, like receiving that award, I'm sure it was a great feeling.
Yeah.
Now, did you do like a speech as well after?
Thankfully, no. I didn't come with anything prepared. And to be honest with you, I didn't really expect to win at first because there were three candidates, one being myself, another being a baseball player at BW. And the third was like an All-American tight end from Bowling Green who led the country in like 9 different statistics.
No
so
way.
So I saw that and initially it was like, oh, well, I mean, like at least I'm a part, like a part of it. Like my name could get called. Like this is a cool experience. Heard my name called and it was just like what? So went up there kind of nervous because I was the first award. I got handed the award and I kind of just like walked off stage not knowing if I was supposed to give a speech or not. Fortunately enough, like it happened, I didn't have to.
Yeah.
But even after being given the award, I got to go backstage and like I said, I met some G League players, some former NBA players. So, you know, it was a really, really cool experience.
Dude, what a great like experience. And I mean, like looking at all of like the Carroll athletes, were you like the first or like the second athlete award winner?
I was the second. The first one was Alex Phillips. He was a cross country runner, track run as well at John Carroll, where he's now at North Carolina competing. So a high level athlete he is too.
Wow. Awesome, brother. Well, definitely congrats on that. That is amazing.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So during the fourth game of the 2024-25 season, you suffered a broken foot. So how are you feeling now and what's your mindset like today as you work toward getting back on the court?
Yeah. You know, originally when it happened, it stunk, obviously. When it first happened, I really didn't know if I wanted to play again just because that was my second injury in the span of 8 months because I broke my other foot over the summer and I finally felt like I got back and I was starting to get back to myself. And then fast forward a month later and I go out with another injury. So it was definitely a mental battle at first. But now I'm sitting here happy to have the opportunity to play another year. And I could gladly say that I'm close to back to normal and getting back to the high level competitor I am. But with that being said, I have high expectations for next year and hopefully we could take this program somewhere that it's been the last couple of years.
Yeah. And kind of going off of that, I actually had my next question.
Yeah.
Was to talk about that. So you'll be back for one last run in 26-25 as a grad student.
Mm.
So what motivated you to come back to Carroll and what are you hoping to accomplish in your final season?
The love of the game would be one. I love playing basketball. I love being around basketball ever since I've been little. But I'd say the other most important aspect to it is just the relationships. I've built relationships here that will last a lifetime on and off the floor with my teammates, obviously my coaches who, you know, I'm biased, but they're my uncles and they're some of the best coaches I've ever played for. And so to have an opportunity as good as that and not really ending I didn't want to end my career how I went out last year. You know, I felt like I put in all this time for 22 at the time will be 23 years now. So I kind of want to continue to do that and see what I'm capable of. So I'm going to use this summer to, you know, work as hard as I can. And I have some pretty high expectations for myself and for my teammates, but we're just going to trust the process and, you know, work at it every day to see where we can get.
Yeah, dude. And then plus, I mean, Carroll has a bunch of solid players, even from like around that area. I mean, what was it like playing with, you know, Luke Frazier, who went to a high school like 10 minutes, like not even like right down the road.
Yeah.
A Luca Eller, Omar, Dave, just players around like the Northeast Ohio area. So like, what has that meant to you?
It's meant the world. That's, you know, first of all, I mean, playing with a guy like Luke Frazier, especially at the Division III level, it's unheard of. He's the most talented player I've ever played with. And I don't really think it's up for debate. But the biggest thing about, you know, that group of guys is, like I said, is the relationship side of things. Like we were all in poor situations 3 years ago today, not really knowing where we wanted to go to school, not really knowing, or some of them not even knowing if they wanted to play basketball again. And we all ended up at a small school in University Heights and we found happiness in it. So I could talk the X's and O's and the basketball side of it, but the biggest thing for us was just the relationships we formed off the floor. And even now that some of their careers are over or we're not, you know, going to put a jersey on together, those relationships, like I said, are going to last us a lifetime. So I think that's been the, you know, the biggest part.
Right. And then plus two, like as a freshman in college, mm-hmm. you know, like you're still a kid, like you're still making like a bunch of tough decisions. So especially like, you know, transferring and just like going through that whole process, you know, I mean, I'm sure you made like a ton of friends at like your previous school
mm-hmm.
and you had to, you know, make a decision for yourself. But mm-hmm. I mean, just making those big, like those big changes in your life at a young age is tough too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. The other thing too is, you know, when I committed to Youngstown State, I was a 16-year-old kid that saw a Division I offer, you know, in front of me. And, you know, at the time you're thinking, oh, Division I, close to home, my parents can go to the game. What's better than this? And so I go to Youngstown and I, you know, shortly after find out, like, you know, it's not for everybody. Like, what I thought was a lifelong fulfilled dream that I was achieving, you know, I'm not going to say it was a nightmare by any means, but it's not, you know, what I anticipated or expected. So I'm glad I made that transition as like a more mature young adult to come here. Because ultimately, I think it's the best decision I've ever made.
Yeah. And then like, you know, experiencing like firsthand, you're like, okay, like, you know, is this going to work out? Is it not? Well, let me try anyways. Obviously, you can make a change off that or like reacting, you know. I feel like a lot of people in today's society, they're kind of scared to, you know, take a risk or even like, you know, take take that extra step forward.
Yeah.
And I feel like you never really know like what's really going to happen if you don't make that step.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I've talked about this too, because I, you know, started this good old training business with Chase Toppin, which we'll talk about a little bit. And there's some kids that we work with that are in the recruiting process. And, you know, I'll speak from the sports side of it, like, especially nowadays where people have 5th and 6th years, don't just look at the Division I, Division II, Division III level. Like, you got to try to put yourself in a situation where you could be happy outside of your life in sports. You know, if something were to happen where you have a season-ending injury, are you going to be okay with being at that school without, you know, the ball or whatever it may be, being on the court or on the field? So put yourself around good people and somewhere you can grow as an individual off the floor or off the field.
You know, with my time, like, in high school, like, during the recruiting process, like, I didn't have, like, the best coaches, like, to help guide me or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was the one that had to put out my own film, like, mm-hmm. had to create, like, my own stuff, my own profiles, and reach out to these coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And it's challenging because,
it is.
You know, just, like, kind of how you mentioned, like, mm-hmm. now these coaches are looking at transfers. Like, mm-hmm. they're not really looking at a bunch of freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at these transfers that they can get with experience, high IQ, mm-hmm. knowledge, and they've been in those, you know, tournament games, those, you know, big venue mm-hmm. games.
Yeah.
So they're not, like, looking at, like, freshmen. And just, like, going through the whole recruiting process, it's definitely challenging.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, you really want to take advantage of every opportunity that, like, really presents itself.
Absolutely.
So your senior year at Mentor was incredible. 23 points per game, 25-1 record, and a trip to the semifinals for Division I. You were also a finalist for Mr. Basketball. So what made that season so special, and what did you take away from it?
I keep talking about it. So the biggest takeaway would be the relationship side of it. That year would not have been the same, regardless of the stats or the awards or how far we made it in the tournament, if I didn't do it with the people I did it with. You know, everybody that was on that team, I'm still in contact with. I still talk to on a weekly, monthly basis, whatever it may be. So the biggest takeaway was definitely the relationship side of things. As a basketball player, I think I matured a lot too, because, you know, my junior year, I was one of the only junior, I think I was the only junior that's, one of the two juniors that started on a senior ran team for the most part. And so going into the summer of my senior year is kind of when I had to mature, grow up, and kind of be more of a leader, of a captain. So I think I definitely learned a lot that whole year about myself as an individual and as a leader.
Wow. And then plus too, you know, Mentor has always had great programs. I mean, mm-hmm. you guys have always been deep. So who were also, like, the finalists that year for Mr. Ohio Basketball? I know Malachi Branham was one of them, right?
Yeah.
He now plays for the Spurs.
Yeah. So it was myself, Malachi. I believe Gabe Cups was up for the running. I ended up coming in second behind Malachi, who you said was actually on the Spurs now.
Yeah. So, wow. So, like, did they have, like, a ceremony for that? Or, like, how was that, like,
so that was, like, the back end of COVID. So
okay.
All these, like, awards or all-star games there wasn't really any. So it was kind of just, like, a social media kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, I knew I was up for the running going into the state Final Four. But then afterwards, obviously, Malachi got, you know, awarded it. And as he should have. I mean, he won heck of a player, ended up playing at Ohio State. He was a one and done, and now he's in the NBA. So it was definitely much deserved on his end.
Yeah, crazy. But, I mean, let's just talk a little bit about, you know, playing basketball during, like, that COVID era.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've never really had anyone on the podcast, you know, talk about this with.
Yeah.
But, like, just talk about, you know, just playing, like, with masks on, playing with that stuff. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it was definitely a challenge, and it was definitely an interesting experience.
Yeah, it was different, to say the least. I mean, you're, like, junior year, for example, you're used to, you have a rivalry game. You're at Mentor playing in a gym of 2,500 seats, and most of them are going to be filled. And you turn the page next year, you're sitting as the number one team in the state the whole year, and you're having 100, 200 people at your games. It was definitely, you know, a change you had to get used to, but it was also nice in the aspect, like, okay, there's only 100 or 200 people here. I have to motivate myself and motivate my teammates to get up and get ready for this game. So like I said, it's definitely different, but I think it had its pros and cons for sure.
Yeah, like, I know at Mayfield, we were only allowed, like, two tickets per, like,
mm-hmm.
player.
Yep.
So, like, only, like, my mom and my dad, or sometimes it would be, like, my mom and, like, my cousin, my dad,
yeah.
and, like, my
yeah.
sister. So, like, just having that, like, you know, like, usually, you know, when your family comes, it's a big crowd.
Yeah.
It's a great feeling. And then, you know, you kind of only have, like, two parents in the
right.
stands. I mean, you're like, dang, where's, like, the rest of the family
right,
at?
Right. Where's everybody at? Yeah.
But, like, you know, instead, like, you have the, like, live streams. And it was definitely, like, a crazy time. Like, I remember coming off the bench just, like, feeling gassed. And I would just instantly have to throw on, like, my mask, or
mm-hmm.
else, like, you would be, I don't know, like, the coaches would get, like, in trouble or
yeah.
something. But,
yeah.
you know, it was definitely a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, definitely something that we will tell our kids, like, when we're
yeah.
older, like, yeah, like,
for
we went through a large part of history.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Jonah Wagg and Stephen Key, two great basketball players. players transferred to Mentor that year. So what was it like building chemistry between guys you played AAU with and teammates you've known since travel basketball? Like me personally, I've never played, you know, I never like combined the two. You know, my school teammates were always my school teammates. My AAU teammates were always my AAU teammates. So like, how was that experience for you?
It was a very smooth and easy process with those guys because they had such a high basketball IQ and they were so talented. So I wouldn't say it was really a hard transition. I think the biggest change was just instead of us wearing an AAU jersey together, we were wearing a red and white jersey that said Cardinals. So like I said, I really don't think it was too tough of a transition other than, you know, getting them caught up to speed with how we do our offense and our defense. Like I said, I think the biggest change was probably just them putting on a new uniform.
Yeah, and I mean, like, plus too, like, I'm sure it was a great feeling just like
oh yeah, for
to
sure.
have those guys like come over to Mentor to come play with you. 100%. I would have loved to play with my best friend. He went to NDCL, but like, I mean, just playing with like some of like your close friends, I mean, dude, it's just a great feeling.
It's a great feeling, especially when they can compete at a high level like those two were able to. You know, it made that year just that much more enjoyable.
Yeah, and then like plus two, I mean, I'm sure the guys from your team obviously brought them in, mm-hmm. treated them like family.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah.
Wow. So transitioning to the Division I level is a huge step for any player. So what was it like adjusting to the speed and intensity of D1 basketball during your freshman year at Youngstown State? And how did you adapt to playing a key role off the bench while maintaining such a strong assist-to-turnover ratio?
Yeah, I think both of those questions kind of tie into one another. I would say, you know, the size, the speed, athleticism was definitely an adjustment because, I mean, you're used to, all right, I'm going to step on the floor. Even if it's against good high school basketball team, their point guard's going to be maybe my height, maybe 6'1". Probably not quicker, though. And then you go to the Division I level, and it's, okay, I'm being guarded by 6'3". He could touch the top of the backboard. He's just as skilled as me. Like, how am I going to compete? But I think a lot of that I got to attribute it to just the fact that I've been around the game for so long, and I have a good feel for the game. You know, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander always says, you know, if you have feel, you could play. And I think ultimately that's something that helped me with that transition, because although I'm not, you know, the biggest guy or the most athletic, you know, I see the floor pretty well. So I think that was definitely, you know, something that helped that transition. And as for the assist to turnover ratio, once again, I think it just kind of comes down to the feel I have for it. But also just being the competitor I am, I wanted to find a way where I could be on the floor and help my team out. And so I kind of had to transition my game from more of a scoring role to a passing role. And I noticed that over the summer. So that's kind of, you know, how that assist to turnover ratio, you know, kind of happened.
Wow. So like, talk about like what it was like going in as a freshman. Like, did you think that you were going to get time, or were you kind of like preparing to like be on like the bench, mm-hmm. or like just kind of watch? Like,
yeah,
because I feel like nowadays a lot of people, you know, redshirt their freshman year. I had a ton of mm-hmm. like friends redshirt their freshman year, like playing like D2. I don't think D1. Yeah, more like D2 football.
Okay. Yeah. So going into the summer, I didn't really know what to expect. I just knew like I wanted to play. Like I the competitor I am, like I did not want to sit there. Now if I had to, I would have respected my role, but I was going to do everything in my power to compete and ultimately get on the floor. And so that's kind of the mentality I had all summer long. Understanding that there were two older point guards with experience who have played the previous years. And so knowing that I have to find a way to get on the floor, and ultimately I think it came down to being able to pass the ball. I'd say, you know, humbly, I think I was the best passer on our team that year, and that was just the area I was able to help, you know, kind of run the offense. But then I had to transition my game as well by trying to become a better defender, because if you put a 5'10 unathletic kid on the floor against a 6'3 athlete, like, okay, if he can contribute on the offensive end, is he at least going to help us or be solid on the defensive end? So that's kind of where I think I got more of my competitive nature kicked in. I realized, like, okay, I got to be a gnat on defense. Like, I could get posted at any point, but the one thing is I'll be able to pick you up 94 feet and give you a hard time while you're bringing the ball up the floor. And so I think that's kind of just where, you know, I found myself being able to get onto the floor.
Wow. If you can play defense, you can get paid. I mean, 100%. We've seen some NBA players get paid. Like, I know Dyson Daniels, I think he plays for the Pelicans still, mm-hmm. but he got paid a huge contract. Mm-hmm. I mean, just playing defense is a key to basketball. I mean, obviously the offense side has evolved like crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have guys shooting from like 5 feet plus like behind the line.
Yeah.
I know that was one thing I struggled with. I was always horrible on defense. I definitely wasn't too quick with like my feet, but I was definitely more offensive minded. But dude, I mean, you know, definitely working on the defense was always key for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So making the move to Youngstown State to JCU must have been a big change in your career, like kind of like how we mentioned earlier. So what was that transition like for you, and how special is it to carry on your family's basketball legacy at John Carroll?
Yeah, it was definitely definitely a special transition. And if from an outside perspective looking in, most people would say, okay, this kid was on the top of the world in high school, got a, you know, full ride scholarship to a Division I, and now he's playing at a small Division III. They would look at it as a pretty crummy career. But from my aspect, or from my point of view, like, it's my dream come true being here, truthfully. You know, like I said, fulfilling that lifelong dream of playing Division I just happened. It wasn't for me. And, you know, I could have went to a couple other Division I's or really any Division II I wanted, but ultimately ended up at John Carroll. And like I said, I don't think if I were to go back, I would have made any other decision with it. That's a big compliment to my teammates and the coaches that, you know, I've had along the way that have made this much more enjoyable. And I think another thing to mention too is I didn't play this whole year, and I'm still, you know, talking about this program and this university the way I am.
Yeah, I mean, dude, that just shows how much this program and school just means to you, and as well as your family. But I mean, like, me and you kind of talked about this off camera, but the Mike Moran camp, I mean, like, a special time. Yeah. You know, the relationships that we've made from it, mm-hmm. and, you know, just being a part of it, like I know people, you know, people that I haven't talked to in years, they mm-hmm. always say good things about this camp. And, you know, you really got to experience this camp, you know, with, like, your mm-hmm. your grandfather and your uncles. Yeah. Running it.
Yeah.
So, like, talk about that.
That camp had one of, if not the biggest impacts on my experience with basketball, not only on the floor but off the floor. I mean, I went to them the whole summer. Like, there were two on the east side, there were two on the west side, there were two at John Carroll. Like, it was 6 weeks of the summer I was at basketball camp. So I got to give a big shout out to my grandpa for running those, because I think that's why I'm the basketball player I am today. But also, I think it put things into perspective that you don't just have to play basketball to change lives. You could coach it or just mentor somebody to help change your life. And so, like I said, I definitely got to give a big shout out to my grandpa for running those camps.
Yeah, I mean, dude, those camps were, like, the highlight of my summer. Like, yeah, I went to camps,
they were,
like,
a good time.
But, you know, the, like, Gilmore camps, there was a few other like skills camps, mm-hmm. but Mike Moran camp, that was the camp. And also too,
yeah.
you wanted to win that, like, championship too.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I think during my time that I went, like, 0-4, I think I played you at least, like, once or twice, and then I lost the 1 year. My best friends from home still make fun of me to this day.
Yeah.
This kid hit a bank shot three with 0 seconds left to win.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but, like, I wasn't guarding him. I switched off of him,
okay.
and he hit it on this kid.
Okay.
He was a little bit taller than the kid, but, like, he cashed it.
Yeah.
But, you know, they still make fun of me. He's like my best friends from home, they're like, yeah, like, mm-hmm. you know, like, bank that shot over you.
Yeah.
No chance. Come yeah, on.
Right.
Like, give me credit. But
that's hilarious.
But nah, those camps just really developed skills.
Absolutely.
It was just a great time.
Yeah, it was.
People still talk about that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
So obviously with LTC basketball, you and teammate Chase Toppin are shaping the next generation of players, helping over 500 athletes, including college level talent, mm-hmm. to help elevate their skills. So after your first tournament this season, what did you learn, and how does it feel to pass on the knowledge you've gained through your own journey?
I've learned that I love coaching. I did not think I was going to my first 22 years on this planet. Like, I just thought I loved playing it and that was it. And realizing that my career is coming to an end, like, I want to still be around the game, but I don't know how that's going to be. And so I fell in love with, like, the player development side, kind of mentoring people, helping them through, whether it's, you know, making the middle school team, making the high school team, or being recruited to colleges. And then the other part would just be coaching. Like, any way I could be around a basketball and just kind of impact people's life, that's definitely been the biggest takeaway.
Wow. So, you know, me and you kind of also talked about this off camera, but you manage 5 teams.
Mm-hmm.
So how important is time management to you? Because I'm sure it's a crazy important.
It is definitely crazy. The springtime, this has been the busiest I think I've ever been, because, I mean, I got 2 to 3 classes a day. Then I got lifts or open gym of some sort. And then I got to go right to training or right to practice. That's Monday through Friday. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you got a tournament. So it's, I want to say the last 3-4 weeks, I've been doing something every second of the day. Luckily, we're off this weekend, so I kind of get to, you know, breathe a little bit.
Yeah.
Go see my girlfriend, say hi to her at her college. But time management has definitely been the most important thing.
Wow. What, like, I guess, grade levels do you coach?
Yeah, so right now we have 1 8th grade team, we have 1 9th grade team, 2 10th grade teams, and an 11th grade team. This is our first year doing it. The goal would to be to get to about 10 to 15 teams by next year, but we'll see where time takes basis.
Wow, dude, 10 to 15?
Yeah,
dude, that's then the goal. Dude, then you'll be up there with, like, you know, those, like, top level programs like SMAC, TMBA, like, mm-hmm. like all those programs that, you know, me and you played on since me and you were little.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's the goal. That's the goal. So we'll see what happens with that. But
so now these players that, you know, just want to play AAU, or these players that want to take their games to the college level, mm-hmm. is it kind of like a mix of both?
Mm-hmm. So it's funny how it happened. Like, originally that wasn't the plan to do AAU. It was more so Chase had worked out or was player developing or training some kids at first. And then, you know, I had some kids I was training, and then we just kind of talked like, why don't we just do it together? So we decided to make a little social media. And over the course of a couple months, the social media blew up a little bit. So I started getting some traction. And then we're sitting here like the middle of basketball season. Like, all right, what's next for our business? Like, why don't we just make an AAU team? Made an AAU team. A lot more people reached out than we expected. So it just went from one team to two teams. Eventually it panned out as five. And these are people of all levels. I mean, you got, like I said, I mean, eighth grade and 11th grade are going to be completely different. Yeah. So we're dealing with some people in eighth grade who next year are going to be fighting to make their freshman team. We have some eighth graders who might end up playing varsity. And then on the 11th grade side, you see it all too. You got some kids who are, you know, just trying to play and enjoy it. And you got some kids who are trying to get recruited. So you see all different aspects of it. It's just, we really focus on the player development side of it and trying to make sure that they become a better basketball player, but they got to be a good person while they do it.
Right, dude. That's definitely most important. You know, mm-hmm. you can be a great hooper, great basketball player.
It's got to be a good person.
Got to be a great person, gotta be a bro. Good person. That's it. So before a big game, what's like your go-to meal? And is there a specific artist or playlist that you always listen to get in the zone?
Oof, that is tough. You know, I wish I could lie and say like I have a great diet. I don't. So like a pregame meal, it could be anything.
Yeah.
Now I will say most of the times we are provided a meal beforehand. Okay. So we're looking at like a Subway, a Piatta, like something that's somewhat nutritious, you could say. For artists, I don't think I have one specific one, but I'm not like the upbeat kind of rap guy before a game. It's more like slower rap to R&B before a game.
You dude, know what I mean? R&B?
Because I'm already anxious. I'm already a little nervous. The heart's racing a little bit, so I just kind of slow it down with some slower music. Now, there are times, though, I might throw on some faster rap and go from there, but I think it really just depends on the day.
Who's like your go-to? I know I had Omar on here. He said his was Drake. Drake is, I'm a huge Drake
goat?
Fan.
That's your go?
Drake's my go, and I know he's been getting a ton of hate,
I'm okay with Drake. That's top three. I love Rod Wave.
Really, Rod?
I love Rod Wave. Love Rod Wave. I could go a bunch of different ways with this. I'm going to just stick to those two. I'll say Drake and Rod Wave.
Come on, bro. You got to throw one more to the top three.
One more. We'll go right now.
Yeah.
I'll go Gunna.
Ooh.
Gunna. Or, that's like faster, though. Like, if I'm going to go slower, this isn't even rap, but I don't even, you know Thames?
Thames,
R&B kind of artist. I'd say Thames then. She'd be up there, too.
Yeah, dude. Thames on every feature.
Yeah.
Golden.
Yeah.
And too, you know, Gunna has kind of like some like slower songs. Like, me personally, I love Gunna's slow songs. Like,
yeah,
you know,
I would agree.
He has like that like fast rap.
Yeah.
But like if you throw on, what is it? I think it's like Drip Season 3
mm-hmm.
with
mm-hmm.
his, I love that whole
album.
You
can switch it up. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, dude. Gunna, he is definitely up there for me too.
Yeah.
So from the travel days to the Mike Moran basketball camps to high school, I've always loved competing against you and watching you excel in the work that you do, brother.
I appreciate it.
So you've been an inspiration to many. So what does it mean to you now to be a role model for so many young players in the Northeast Ohio area?
A lot. You know, a lot of people have impacted my life through the game of basketball. And ultimately, I think it's made me not only the player I am today, but the person I am today. So I want to give, you know, other people the resource to have the same. Somebody that they can look up to and they can mentor and kind of change their life through a game that they enjoy doing it. And ultimately, I think that's the biggest thing. Like I keep talking about it. It's the relationship side that the sport brings that I love so much. And, you know, I want to continue to do it. So,
Dude. Blessing. So I always end off every episode with a little mm-hmm. segment called the quote of the episode.
Okay.
So pretty much I'll say a quote from like a famous athlete person. Just tell the audience what it means to you. And then you tell me in the audience a quote that you live by every single day. If you can think of one already. All right,
I
perfect.
Got one already.
So this is from the soccer player, Pele. I'm not a soccer fan. I don't know too much about soccer, but I thought this quote was great. So success is no accident. It's hard work, perseverance, learning, studying, sacrifice, and most of all, love what you are doing or learning to do.
That quote is everything, I'd say. To use myself as an example, I'd say, you know, I've had a pretty successful career, but I wasn't necessarily necessarily, you know, gifted all the God-given ability. I'm not the tallest guy, I'm not the strongest, not the most athletic, but I always worked really hard to try to perfect my craft. And ultimately, it's, like I said, it's taken me to the player I am today. And I've had some success, you know, in my career, I guess you could say. But at the end of the day, man, just be a good person.
Yeah,
be a good person.
Dude, you know, just be a good person and treat everyone with the same amount of respect. Like, kind of like how I talked about last episode, you don't really know what people like go through. You know, mm-hmm. You walk past people in these hallways every single day. You have no clue, you know what their home life is, what their background is. But just being nice to everyone, treating everyone with respect is just so important. Mm-hmm. And plus, too, just being a good person, giving back to the community. Obviously, that's what John Carroll's all about. It's just giving back. And yeah, dude, I mean, kind of like how you mentioned, like, I'm not really, you know, gifted. You know, I know in school, like, I have to work super hard to study, do well on tests. And, you know, it does take a lot to work hard. It really does. It, you know, because sometimes you get down on yourself. Sometimes, you know, you don't want to do certain things, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we have goals, we want to achieve them, and the only way by getting to them is by mm-hmm. putting in hard work.
Right, absolutely. And you got to have purpose behind it. Like, why are you doing it? And it helps, like you said, if you enjoy doing it, it gives you that purpose and that gives you that motivation.
For sure. So now, what's a quote that you live by every single day?
It's only two words, and it's actually tatted on my body. It's
okay.
Keep smiling. So it's my grandpa's motto. I hear it every day from my family members. I think my older sister and two of my younger sisters also have it tatted. Just keep smiling, you know, regardless of the situation you're in. Try to find the best in the situation and find happiness in it. So I'd say keep smiling is the biggest one.
Dude, that's honestly one of, like, the best quotes I've heard. It's, like, been 25 people, 26?
25 episodes?
Yeah.
That's crazy. You're doing something.
Dude, trying, brother. But, I mean, that's honestly one of, like, the best quotes, like I've heard. Just keep smiling.
I appreciate that, yeah.
Because, dude, a smile goes a long way. It just shows your whole body language, mm-hmm. everything, bro.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, dude, that's honestly one of the best quotes that I've heard so far.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes, sir. But that'll do it for this podcast. Luke, it's an honor to have you. Hopefully you had a blast.
I did. Great time.
Listen, I am so thankful that you were able to be a part of this journey with me. I know we've known each other for a long time. Mm-hmm. My cousin, she has these, you know, like 5 to 10 years like of like recap of just like photos that roll through.
Mm-hmm.
So at one of our old travel games, I think it was at Aurora, like, high school or middle school, there was a picture of me and you at like the free throw line.
Okay.
And dude, I have to find it. I have to send it to you somehow.
Yeah, you gotta send it to me.
But dude, we were like super little. So, you know, just seeing your journey and, you know, being here at Carroll today, you know, it's truly a blessing, brother.
It definitely is. And I appreciate you having me on here. You know, you're doing a great job with everything. I didn't see that until today. Congrats on that. That's big time in the Carroll news. You know, you've done a good job, but I see continued success with this and a lot of growth coming soon. So
thank you, brother.
Yeah.
Me and you both, especially with your training too.
I
know your training, your AU program is going to be special.
And, I appreciate
and,
that, man.
Definitely looking forward to it.
Thank you, man.
So that'll do it. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Share with friends and family. And yeah, new episodes out every Tuesday. Appreciate it. Peace.
See you guys. Thank you.